Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC. And now a call in for those New Yorkers watching the Olympics, but not necessarily rooting for the red, white, and blue. We want to hear from those immigrants from other countries who are rooting for a particular athlete in London from another country. Tell us about them. Tell us about their sport. Tell us if you're getting together with other people from your country of origin to cheer them on. The phones are open now at 212-433-WNYC. And we think our American listeners can learn a lot from this, too, because there are a lot of sports out there other than, you know, basketball with the U.S. Dream Team. So give us a call if you're an immigrant and are rooting for a sport that's relevant to your country of origin. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, for example. Are you a fan of South Korea's dominant archery teams or Cuba's boxers who often take home medals? Maybe the Dutch women's hockey team or New Zealand's middle distance runner, Nick Willis. And here's the idea, if you don't have it already. In the U.S., we kind of get to root for every sport. Most competitions feature a U.S. athlete who has a good chance of medaling. Okay, that's not entirely true. The U.S. hasn't had a lifting medalist in 30 years, and we've never medaled in badminton. Did you know that's an Olympic sport? Or table tennis or team handball. But generally, American Olympics fans are spoiled. But in other countries, there is often one athlete or one sport that the whole country excels in or can really rally around because a few of their country members excel in them. The Kazakhstans may not come close in any other sport, but there's a decent chance of them walking away with a lifting medal. Slovakia is sending athletes in swimming and biking and triathlon, but the hopes of the nation rest mostly with the twin brothers, Peter and Pavel Hochschorner, favorites in the slalom canoe. And again, unless you're a big Olympics watcher in the summer every 4 years, you're thinking, slalom canoe? That's an Olympic sport? But Slovakia has these, you know, real twin brothers in slalom canoe, Peter and Pavel Hochschorner. Any Slovak canoeing fans out there? 212-433-WNYC or Kazakhs who all of a sudden care a whole bunch about weightlifting? We know there are some Jamaican track and field fans out there, right? Tell us about how you're cheering on Usain Bolt or Asafa Powell and any of your dominant sprinters. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And while we're waiting for your calls, let's talk to a few New Yorkers who are cheering on other countries' teams. Rupa Unnikrishnan is a strategy consultant living here in New York, and she was one of the world's top female rifle shooters, a gold medalist at the Commonwealth Games, and an inductee in India's Sports Hall of Fame. Turns out India has a strong tradition of air rifle. Abhinav Bindra, the 2008 gold medalist and current world champion in the in one of the categories, became the first individual gold medalist from India since 1980 and is in London to defend his title. Rupa, welcome to WNYC. Thanks for talking Indian air rifle with us.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning.
So first describe the sport, since lots of our listeners, frankly me, probably don't even know it's in the Olympics or what it looks like.
Right. So it's certainly not the sort of swashbuckling, you know, pull your pistol out of your back pocket shooting that you see on TV. It's a sport which, you have a lot of equipment on you. You're wearing, you know, very thick jackets. You've got boots on. You've got special eyewear that helps you not have to sort of squint all the time but covers one eye. You do not use a binocular or any sort of sighting help. You just it's basically a very large, often, you know, I'd say about 14 kilogram weight weighted rifle that you're using, and it's 10 meters. So it's not a hugely long distance, but you're talking about shooting 60 shots over a, you know, 1.5 hour time period. So not that much time to sort of focus, shoot, get back, reload, pull the target back. And each time, the aim is to hit it right in the center. So, you know, I used to shoot long distances of 50 meters. And the way I would describe it, and I've heard my husband describe it, is shooting a penny off the top of your head standing across a football field, right? Mm. So that's the level of accuracy we're talking about. And you kind of have to shoot one shot, reload, and you start the match again because you can only go shoot a shot at a time. Because we're talking about, you know, one of my records was 597 out of 600, right? So it's you got very, very little space for inaccuracy in there.
Yes.
And the air rifle is better in that it's indoors, worse in that you're shooting all of it standing, because some of the medals I have are either lying prone or in three positions, which is standing, kneeling, and standing, and lying prone. Air rifles, you're standing all the time, and you sort of aim, shoot, and you want to get it in the center every time.
And a 10-meter distance, that's like 30 yards. So for anybody who's ever been on a football field, it's not actually that far a distance, but it's got this time element and et cetera that you've just been describing that makes it difficult. What's the target?
So the target, I'd say, you know, if you want to hit the 10 ring that's in for the air rifle, it's literally a spot. So think the tip of your pencil, sort of a slightly less than sharp pencil, but still the tip of a pencil. So that's what you're aiming at.
Wow.
Tell
us about Abhinav Bindra, this athlete at the Games. Is he really that good?
He's really good. I've seen him when he was sort of just starting up, and that's around the time I was transitioning out of being seriously into shooting. And this was a kid. I mean, one of the good things about Bindra and his situation is that he had a family that was able to support him, right? So he was one of the few people who could afford going out for training to Germany, etc. So I've seen him actually be groomed. But more importantly, shooting's a hugely mental sport. And this is a kid, and he's not a kid anymore, but I sort of appreciated the fact that he was very focused and continues to be hugely focused.
And in his book, A Shot at History, Bindra writes that when he was younger, he practiced by shooting bottles perched on the heads of his maid and her daughter. And he acknowledges that in retrospect, this was irresponsible. That's very good of him to acknowledge that. But are people all across India rooting for him? Is he a celebrity in India as an air rifle athlete?
He's certainly a celebrity in India. I mean, which is sort of gratifying for me, because I still remember gratifying, and I sort of have these little moments of twinges, because when I was shooting, I still remember applying for architecture school and being told shooting, that's not a sport, right? And so it's great to see the transition that's happened in the country where I had one of the earliest shooting medals, and people said, wow, that's a sport. And now shooting's seen as one of those areas where it's recognized, it's respected. You have what we call our Bollywood stars hanging out with Bindra and actually writing about hanging out with Bindra.
How about that?
Which is wonderful.
All right. Rupa Unnikrishnan, a strategy consultant living here in New York City. She was one of the world's top female rifle shooters, a gold medalist at the Commonwealth Games, and an inductee in India's Sports Hall of Fame. This has been really interesting. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Enjoy the Olympics.
Thank you very much.
All right, callers, how about you? Which Olympic sport will you be watching, and who will the people back home in your country of origin be rooting for? This is a call-in for immigrants about the athletes and the sports that are big in your countries of origin that people in the U.S. may not know much about. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Well, I think people know about Jamaican sprinters, but let's take Michael in Queens and Marcel in the Bronx on the air together. Hey, you guys are both from Jamaica originally?
I am.
Yes.
Michael, talk to me. Who are you rooting for?
Well, I think Usain Bolt is going to pull it off, but you've got to watch Ewan Blake. Ewan Blake has bested him two times, 100 meters and 200 meters. So you got to look out for him.
So you might have Jamaicans in the first and second spot, the gold and silver medals in that race?
In, Inevitably, that will happen. In fact, one or the other is going to be gold and silver.
Inevitably. A little cockiness there, saying inevitably.
No. Don't even use that word. It's not even cocky. That's the way it is. So you don't even have to be cocky. That has become the way it is.
Marcel, who are you watching?
Yes, I'm actually looking out to see the Brazilian soccer team play. I don't know if I could change it up a bit.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I could change up the subject a bit.
Sure.
You know, growing up in Jamaica, we were able to see all the sports. And just like all other countries, they're looking to see the American basketball team play. We're looking to see, like, the Brazilian team play soccer. And so far, NBC, they haven't been playing these soccer games. You know, so it's much of a complaint than anything else, because growing up, I was able to see a variety of sports, you know, and I was just hoping up to the world. But now it's like we're only seeing mostly American athletes
right.
perform.
And for people who are thinking, gosh, the opening ceremonies are only today. What does he mean? The soccer has actually begun. I have a tip for you, though, Marcel, which is that on the NBC website or collection of websites, they are showing everything. So they're not showing it on television except in the sports that they select to show and the portions of the sports that they select to show. But it's all online. So if you have Internet access, you can find the Brazilian soccer team and everything else.
Oh, well, that's good.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Michael, where do you go anywhere to watch these games? Is there a place where, like, Jamaicans and Queens gather or anything like that?
Well, if I say the word, it will give a plug to a company. There's a new company which will be doing a lot of things. I don't know if I can say their name.
Sure.
Kaya TV. That's a brand new company. Kaya TV. They are doing things.
That's online.
Well, they have cable boxes now, so if you get one of your cable right. boxes, you will be in business.
Okay. Michael, thank you very much. Michael and Marcel, to both of you, enjoy the games. Thank you very much for calling in. Let's go to another caller. Here is Joe. Let's go to Carolina in Brooklyn. Carolina, thanks for calling in. Hi.
How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great. How about you? Where are you from? What are you going to be watching?
I am from Colombia, and one of my best friends, he's from the city Medellin. His name is Juan Esteban Arango, and he's going for cycling in the Olympics. There was another tournament this year in London, and he won the gold medal. I can't really recall the name of the tournament, but everybody's really excited in Colombia about it. So this is
a big thing in Colombia. People are paying attention to this athlete.
Yeah. I'm really proud of him, actually. He started, you know, when he was like 15, he just got a bicycle and he just started, you know, getting really passionate about it. And after like 2 or 3 years, he started going to tournaments and he started winning. So it was just, like, very spontaneous for him.
This is Juan Esteban Arango, right?
Yeah, that's his name.
And competes, I'm seeing now, in the men's Omnium and men's team Pursuit, two different kinds of bicycle races. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And good luck to him. All right, we have on the line now Peter Felveggi, live from Budapest. Peter lives here in the New York area. And is a former youth European water polo champion. Now he coaches water polo teams here in New York and is part of a strong tradition of Hungarian water polo. Peter, hello from New York.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. And I gather you just landed in Budapest from New York, so thanks a lot for shaking off the jet lag for us. And tell us about this strong tradition of Hungarian water polo.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Water polo in Hungary is just as popular as basketball, baseball in the United States. You know, kids, when they grow up, they just want to play water polo. They want to be at the pool, hang out with the verd and the Olympic champions. Hungary is the most successful country in the history of Olympics with eight Olympic gold medals, and you know Olympic champions are just heroes in this country. The kids just want to beat them when they grow up, and they are, you know, there are lots of popular water programs and club teams, and you know it's not very difficult to recruit kids because you have an abundance of new kids that want to play water polo.
And the team is expected immensely popular in Hungary. Wait, isn't Hungary landlocked?
We are landlocked, actually, yes.
But I guess you don't play water polo in the ocean anyway.
No, but actually there's a sport which is called beach water polo. So the water polo seasons in Europe are in the fall and the spring. So someone created a new sport called the beach water polo. So less players and more fun, and it's on the beach.
How do you like
that? In Lake Balaton, which is because Hungary doesn't have a beach. So we can be playing in the lake.
And I guess all swimming pools are landlocked anyway. I'm told that some of the athletes you coach are competing in London. Are they on the U.S. team or the Hungarian team?
On the U.S. team. I've moved to New York 12 years ago, and the last 6 years I played and coached water polo at the New York Athletic Club. And nine players from the men's team from NIAC are competing for the Olympic team, for the U.S. Olympic team.
Great.
And six players on the women's side. So we have 15 players altogether on the Olympics. And interestingly, the first game is going to be USA and Hungary on the women's side.
Really?
And U.S.
So who are you going to root for? I guess they're your team in the U.S., so you have to root for them.
It's always been tough. I mean, in 2008, the men's played, Hungarian played the U.S. in the finals. It's always been tough because, you know, I grew up in Hungary, I'm Hungarian. However, I've lived, you know, last 12 years of my life in New York, and those guys are very close to me, and the New York Athletic Club as well. So it's very tough. You know?
So where are your friends and teammates in New York getting together to watch the games? Are there, like, water polo bars?
Not water polo bars, but, you know, I think more like house parties or, you know, for the final, I could see, like, a bigger party. I actually started a network for Hungarians 5 years ago, a meetup group that has 850 members.
Wow.
And for any large sports events, I would normally organize an event, but unfortunately I'm not there. So
somebody's got to have a
I'm
big...
I'm pretty sure that...
Somebody's got to have a big living room for that group. So... Peter Felveggi, live from Budapest. He's from the New York area, a former youth European water polo champion who now coaches water polo teams here in New York. Thank you very much for joining us and previewing that part of the Olympics for us.
Well, thank you for having me, Brian. Take care.
And John in the Bronx. John, you're on WNYC. Hey there.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. Tell us where you're from and what sport and what athletes you'll be following.
Okay, so I'll be following Nigerian men and women's soccer. We call it football, but you guys call it soccer here. I mean, we call it football, but you call it soccer here. So, but I'll be following those two teams. We honed us. We've been very successful in the last few Olympics, but when our men and women are focused, they beat everybody.
So from Nigeria and following women's soccer, John, thanks a lot. And Jack in Stamford, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. First time caller, big fan of yours.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm actually also from Nigeria. I'm a little bit torn, though. I'm a big Dream Team USA basketball fan, but they're in the same group as Nigerian basketball team. You know, but here's the funny part, though. This is what we're going to be doing in my house. We have a new app we have called Grub Olympics. We are going to be watching all the Nigerian and USA games with the signature foods of each country. That's what we're going to be doing. The signature iconic food for Nigeria is jollof rice, and suya for the U.S. is hamburgers and apple pie. So anytime you watch a sport and the team wins a medal, we're going to try and have the national food from the team. It's an app we created, and we're going to use it to do it.
Did you call it the Grub Olympics?
Yeah, Grub Olympics, GRUBOLYMPX, though, MPX. MDX.
Go hamburgers.
Go hamburgers, go jollof rice, go. Yeah, it's fun. Check it out.
Jack, thank you very much. Call us again. And one more. Joginder in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning, Brad. This is Joginder Singh. My nickname is Jerry. I'm calling from Manhattan, and I grew up in Punjab in India, and my favorite sports is hockey, Brian.
Field hockey?
Field hockey, yes.
Is that only a women's sport? In this country, it tends to be women who play field hockey. Is it men's and women's in the Olympics?
Yeah, men's and women's in Olympic and Indian team, yes.
Uh-huh. And do you have a favorite athlete or an individual who you're watching, or is it really just
Actually,
the team?
I watch more like a wrestler, because there's a wrestler from Punjab, and also I watch field hockey, and which is my very favorite game, because, you know, I used to play hockey when I was in school. And but the Indian team used to be very good back, you know, I read this, and back in 1936 it was Olympic in Berlin, and when India and versus Germany was in the final match, and India beat Germany with the, I think, I don't know, more than 10 goals. And I don't want to, if I want to say that, Hitler was watching that game. And he signed one of the hockey, was the Dhyan Chand, who was the captain of the team, and he signed his stick. That stick is still in Punjab, in Chandigarh. And so after that, one after one, you know, the Indian hockey team was winning an Olympic Games. But back, like, now 15, 20 years, this Indian hockey is not winning. So I hope they win this time in England so we can celebrate.
Joginder, thank you very much. I was wanting to play field hockey. It looked like so much fun. And I didn't ice skate well enough to play ice hockey. So I wanted to play field hockey, but it was a girl's sport. So anyway, that's it. Great calls. Thank you all from all over the world, now here in New York, for calling in and sharing your sports and your athletes. And we will now know, all of us who've been listening to this, some of the other sport traditions from around the world that are reflected at the Olympics. And we've got a lot of tools on our website that can help you follow these Olympic Games. So here are some of the things. Our newsroom has put together a really cool tool that tracks the performance of local athletes in the London Games. Check it out at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And remember when I spoke with local athletes a few months ago who were hoping to make the Olympic team? We had a whole series of them. Well, a few of them did make it, and they are competing for Team USA starting tomorrow. You can listen back to those short interviews if you like and follow their results. And remember when it was going to be New York hopefully hosting the 2012 Games? Well, imagine what your commute this morning would have been like. The WNYC news team has posted a cool map of what could have been. The Barclays Center would have been the home of the gymnastics. Road racing would have started on Staten Island tomorrow, etc. It's all on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And coming up next, should America just legalize marijuana already? We'll hear two proposals short of full legalization. Stay with us.